This is the best of two pros and a cup of Joe with LeVar Arrington, Brady Quinn, and Jonas Knox on Fox Sports Radio.
It is LeVar's favorite day of the week. It is hump day for sticks.
Yeah. Happy hump day.
Sticks Arrington. Now, I got to ask you, it's kind of a good news and bad news situation for the city of L.A. Many of our listeners are just waking up now listening on The Blowtorch, AM 570 L.A. Sports. They saw just an epic comeback by the LA Dodgers yesterday.
Yeah.
Back from the dead. Mm-hmm. As the team and fan base that has everything and still needs a little bit more every single time. Just can't seem to figure it out on their own. Just need a little bit more. Got to have one more pitcher, one more bat, one more everything. They figure
one
it out
bear.
In the eighth. Yes. And they do win, and they narrow that series lead to 2-1. If you just went on momentum alone, I don't know if you guys believe in momentum. There's zero chance the Braves win later on tonight, right? Zero chance. None.
I wouldn't say that.
I mean, come on. If you're a believer in momentum, it feels like last night was kind of a catastrophic loss for the Atlanta Braves at Dodger Stadium.
I'm curious to see how this thing plays out. I really am.
I really am.
I mean, look, LA's the better team. They should, especially playing at home, but I don't know. I'm kind of curious to see where this thing goes. I really am.
Well,
You get dressed up and play the game.
Right.
If there was zero chance, there'd be no reason for them to even come out and play the game. Just give them the win.
Who do we have pitching tonight? Who do we got?
It's Urias, right?
And that's correct.
And who's pitching for
and
Atlanta?
The Braves have a bullpen game.
Is it? So it's the dreaded bullpen game.
The dreaded bullpen game.
They can't bring back like Steve Avery or John Smoltz for like five,
John
six
Smoltz,
innings.
Greg Maddux.
I mean, any
Tom
of those
Glavin.
Guys? I mean, come on.
None of those
man.
Guys available.
None of, yeah, it's
remember when pitchers used to throw like mid to high 80-mile-an-hour fastballs, but like great placement.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, Greg Maddux playing wiffle ball with major leaguers, and then and now every guy that comes in now, was it Gratterall throws what at 103?
103. Yeah.
Jesus God, man,
you like you literally have to be in the low 90s. You have to be in the low 90s with movement on your fastball in order to survive.
How does your arm not explode?
Have you guys ever stood in and watched a 100-mile-an-hour ball go past you?
No, I'm not interested.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm not interested.
I've witnessed this.
I did it out of batting cage. Let me tell you something. It's almost like how people are like, oh, you know, football is – it looks like it's moving so fast, right? And the only time you can really – maybe get an idea of how to comprehend the speed of a play is if you're on the sideline. It's the only way. Like, you can watch it on TV and it's like, oh, they're moving so fast. Imagine it 100 times faster than that, right? I used to sit there and I'd say to myself, I wonder if I could hit a fastball. So I went to a batting cage at one point and I had them dial it up to 100 miles per hour. You literally have to swing the minute the ball is leaving.
Swing at the previous
the
pitch.
Machine. You got to swing at the previous pitch in order to be able
you
to
You have to go back in time. You have to get in a time machine.
You got to go.
Right? Michael J. Fox is showing up with a DeLorean.
It's just terrible.
Yes. That is how fast that ball is moving. Like, it's like the first one that shot by me, I was like, I totally am going to play football. Like, I was in high school when I did this, too, by the way. Yeah. I am totally playing. First off, I don't want to get hit by that. Like, I don't even want to know what that would
feel
like.
Well, so that leads you to why you understand why these guys get in fights. Like, why – when someone pitches at a batter, you understand immediate rage.
Especially if they hit you in the head.
Oh,
like, I'm going for blood.
They,
like,
they
I'm
don't
not
even have
see
to
anything
hit you.
But red.
It could just be a warning shot. Like, if they're backing you off or they throw behind you, you know, that you see that a little more in the regular season, you can understand why, like, these dudes at the plate with a bat in their hand are like, my immediate reaction would be, I'm going to beat you now with this bat. You just threw that ball at me.
I'm going to beat you bad.
bad.
And I might go in the stands and find the people you love. Because here's the thing. You are threatening me. You are threatening me with a weapon. Like what you did when you almost hit me is allowed me to know. You wanted me to know that I can hurt you. Like, I can hurt you. So to me, when you get down to like brass deals on that, I'm coming for you.
Well, it's
like, let's go ahead and get it in.
You remember the Don Zimmer, Pedro Martinez fight, Yankees Red Sox years ago, where Don Zimmer ran out.
Slammed him down.
What pissed Don Zimmer off, he was an old time baseball guy, is Pedro Martinez looked into the Yankee dugout and pointed to their heads, saying, I was going to throw at your heads, and they lost it. And that was their big thing, Brady. They're like, listen, you could kill someone. You could literally kill someone if you throw
at
their head.
And again, that's where like you see there's the dangerous side of it, but at the same time too, there's also, you know, this demeanor of, like, think about how hard that is to do. Like, one of the things, like, I've always said that's the hardest thing to do in professional sports. Some people try to attribute to like a position, or they look at golf because everyone plays golf and they're like, oh my god, it's so hard to play golf. Try having the balls to stand at the plate 60 and a half feet away from a guy throwing, you know, anywhere in the 90s plus.
Smoke.
Try doing that. And then, oh, by the way, you have to put this wooden bat on the ball and actually get a hit. It is so difficult to do. I mean, again, I've always appreciated baseball and everything that comes with it. We've completely gotten off on a tangent.
Well,
the fact that I'm not writing off the Atlanta Braves in this series. I'm just letting you know. I know they've had
– I'm not writing them off either.
Yeah, I know they've had their issues where they've blown leads in the Super Bowl or – you know, whatever you want to attribute to. I get that. I understand that their city's history. I'm not writing them off here. All right, I'm not. I think they still have a shot in this, and I know that might upset Roberto, but it's what makes for an interesting series.
It's not over. Yeah.
City history, the Braves have fared out well. It's the Falcons that haven't fared out well.
Yeah.
The Braves have. Come on, man. They had a nice run.
Yeah. They ruined my childhood.
They went to a lot of World Series and didn't get it done. You know, they did against the Indians, didn't they? Yeah.
They did against Cleveland.
Well, but that was, the lesser of two cursed franchises, you know. I mean, like, let's be honest.
That's where you're
I'm just saying, Brady, come on.
You're going to
spit in the face of Albert Bell and Kenny Lofton and Omar Vizquel.
Justice.
I don't want to deal with Jose Mesa. I don't want Jose Mesa smoke. I'm just saying, you know, there's, you know, the Indians.
Roberto Alomar did spit on someone's face.
That is true. Yeah, Roberto, he did spit. By the way, although regardless of what fan base you're talking about, anybody looked better than the Lakers looked last night. So I just want to point that out here.
I thought the Lakers looked pretty good.
Yeah.
What in the hell was Carmelo doing at the free throw line?
Listen.
Did you see a little pump fake he did? Was he just trying to get like a lane violation?
I have no idea. But if it gets to the point where
LeBron looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Russell Westbrook didn't.
Yeah. I mean,
he struggled a little bit.
You know, listen, that's, but again, don't worry. The apologists in Southern California are going to spin it. Oh, don't worry about it. They just need time to gel.
It's only one game.
Had they won that game, it would have been, this is just going to be a prelude to what the entire season's going to be. But when they lose, we move the goalposts on this stuff a little bit. I'm telling you, man.
I think had they won the game, people would still be saying, it's early. Because I think there's more skeptics than there are believers, to be honest. Now, you'll say this market, I agree with you, this market will be apologists or be,
pom-pom waivers.
High on them.
Fan boys, homers. Yeah.
But I think realistically, even the homers and the fanboys will say, you know what, it's early.
I love how he's trying to gas up Roberto right now.
Roberto's not one of those guys. Roberto calls it like it is. I mean, nobody's been more critical of Dave Roberts than Roberto on social media.
I didn't watch one minute of that Laker game. I was sleeping.
He needed a nap.
Yeah, buddy. And boy, do I need one right now.
Yeah, you do.
He
was still in his seat at the stadium.
Yeah, it's, this is how this works. NBA media is going to try and fanboy it up for LeBron and try and, cover up for LeBron. And, don't worry about it. It's, they'll figure this whole thing out. It's like, all right, well, look, the pairings of Russell Westbrook and then Carmelo Anthony, like, they got older when everybody else got younger. They're not a good three-point shooting team when everybody else tries to emphasize the three-point shot. But, okay, they're going to go ahead and they're going to right all the wrongs of that. And they're going to, it's just like, I didn't buy it. I don't buy it for a second. I think the Lakers are going to go 0-82 this year. How's that? Do something with that hot take. You can stick it. Do something with that hot take.
What happens if they don't? Are you gonna make any other big bets they haven't?
I don't know
what
you're talking about. Listen, I pay off every bet I ever make on the air.
Nah, that's not true. The Tony Romo one you have not paid off.
What Tony Romo one are you talking about? I don't know.
There was a Tony Romo one.
There was?
I can't quite recall.
Why would betting line?
Why would I ever make a bet for Tony Romo? I don't understand.
It was a bet about how much he was going to get paid.
By the way, if Tony Romo gets $10 million a year, I'm getting a sex change. Take it out of context. That was taken totally out of context.
Have you paid that one off yet?
Halfway there.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah, halfway there.
What does that mean?
I don't know, man. Listen, I was taken out of context there. You know I was taken out of context there.
I don't. In fact, I think you doubled down on that.
I made
sure that you were specific in what exactly you were saying. And you doubled down.
Okay. Yeah. Does Tony Romo deserve the amount of money he's making from CBS?
That's a philosophical discussion.
Okay. Well, a philosophical
this.
Philosophically,
there's
is
a sex change
lives?
On the line here. All right. We need to get to the bottom of this. All right. You think Jim Nantz is happy the amount of money Tony Romo makes to make bad calls during games?
I mean, he leveraged his position into getting that contract. Right. You know, he's not saving lives. He's not defending our liberties or freedoms or anything like that. So does he deserve it? I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, the market would dictate he does. I don't know that in the grand scheme of life, you know, he's more important than a doctor or teacher or someone like that.
All right, if Tony Romo's getting that amount of money, then Collinsworth and Troy Aikman deserve $30 million a year. If that's where we're going.
That's fair.
Here.
That's fair. Did you leave out Joe Buck? You're not going to pay Joe Buck?
Well, I'm just saying as far as like color analysts, as far as like the color analysts.
I see.
Yeah.
Just standing on that side. Did you leave out the Monday Night Football crew?
Well, you know, listen, you're not a greasy fan? Well, no, I mean, there's nothing against Brian Greasy. Nothing against Louis Riddick.
Did you say he was talking too much? Was that you saying that?
No, that was not me. But yeah, you're trying to pin that on me.
Louis is a good dude.
He's a good dude. But the problem is, when you've got to bring in the Mannings to try and, you know, build some hype around your broadcast,
you're experimenting with them. Like, Jonas, this is something that, like, you and I are going to have to, like, we're going to have to take some time and work on this, like, natural hate you have, man. Like, we got to delve into why you go so deep into the hate pool, man. Yeah. You go into the deep end of it. Like, you totally submerge yourself into the hate, man.
Absolutely.
You got to fight. And don't go into that good night, sir. Like, you got to fight it, bro.
Get some floaties.
Let me, you know, LeVar is going to be the angel on your shoulder. Let me be the devil on the other side. Okay?
Gas me up, Brady.
You use that fuel. You provide the yang to LeVar's yang. You keep being you, all right? That's right. Jonas, be true.
Yeah.
Be true, Jonas.
You better believe it. And by the way, you got a problem with anything I said, you can find me on Twitter at LeVar Lee Barrington is where you can find me on
that's
Twitter.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Hey, you just
Twitter.
Be true to you, Jonas, all right?
Damn
be
right.
True, buddy.
Yeah, Brady. I'm true, Brady.
Yeah.
I'll probably get a ton of hate just off of them wanting to hate on me for saying you hate too much. Brady
just keep
and Jonas
being true, man. Like
haters.
Nike told you, Jonas.
Yeah,
keep
I'm being true, man.
Yeah.
You better believe it.
Brady and Jonas are such great haters, man.
Proud,
that
man,
LeVar,
being true.
That LeVar guy, like, why does he want to not hate? Like,
hey,
oh my
you know,
gosh,
listen, it's
I
not
hate
all,
him.
It's not all rainbows and butterflies on this show. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
we gotta
tell the truth around here.
Butterflies in the sky.
Yeah, the Rainbow Warriors, man. Hawaii.
That's right, baby.
Oh, man.
Yeah, let me tell you, I'm the brass knuckles of this show.
I'm okay with the Rainbow Warriors, man.
Right.
That's a good way of putting it.
When are we doing
brass knuckles?
There?
Yeah.
The brass knuckles, the plunger.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. Yeah. Unbelievable. You are a classy dude. Why don't you send LeVar
You're unclogging
that text.
All our crap. That's what you do. Yeah.
Send LeVar that text, all right? see how that plays out.
Brady O'Quinn is one of the funniest dudes that I never knew until now.
Hey,
like
all I know, I'm just saying,
cheated.
LeVar, you just got to be true.
Yeah.
Just be true, LeVar.
I feel cheated, man.
Yeah.
I tell you what, Brady Quinn and Jonas Knox. What did I do to deserve this? Like, I was teamed up with two of the funniest dudes.
Hey.
I used to feel old until I started doing the show with you LeVar, guys, man.
LeVar, will you ever open up an email sent by one of us again?
No, I hate it. It is the worst. It is the worst experience. I get anxiety when my text comes through and I see y'all our threat pop up. I don't want to open it. No.
Yeah, it's like, you know.
And especially if it's an attachment. Like, no way. Yeah. No way.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't
no
do it.
Like,
way.
Brady sends an email and says, hey, check out this signing in the NFL. You open it up and it's some guy sitting on Snuffleupagus' shoulders. And it's like, what are we doing here? Like, can we have like a legit conversation?
You know, the problem with you guys is
why is it always
go
me?
For,
I mean,
when you don't
you
go for the bait. Now, well, here's one for Jonas, right? I didn't go for the bait the other day, right? And then Jonas wants to sit there and act like this is something like really, really important. Like, is this government secret? Like, I got to walk you through the process. I'm like, no, Jonas, no. And he wants to just keep going. And then I finally bought into the fact that this is something really, really serious. And then he opened the attachment. I looked at this dude. And he can keep a straight face and give it like there's something really wrong until the punchline. I hate you.
Hey.
I hate you for it.
Look, you know, I didn't want Brady's effort to go unnoticed, so I wanted to make sure we got it in, literally. That's
like, you didn't look at the story? Like, you were shaming me. Like, I can't believe.
God, LeVar.
Like, you're, like, calling into question my prep work. Like, yeah. I can't believe you would not prep this for the show. So now I'm, like, panicking. Like, oh, what did I miss? Like, oh, geez. All right, let's open it. He opens it. Like, he's showing it to me. He opens
it. I'm telling you, man.
The problem is, if you don't open it, LeVar, then you might be left out of some inside jokes.
See,
so that's the issue. That's the concern.
Here's what this is. Growing up, you know, when a friend used to pass out drunk, you would draw on his face or do something to mess with him. Well, now because of social distancing, what people do now is they send fake attachments to a major store. Like, oh, my God, COVID shut down. Coming near you. And you open it up and it's like some guy batting practice. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it's,
right.
You know, you just got to, you know, it's like a, you know, it's your right as a man.
Says.
Yeah, it's your right as a man.
I feel like with social
media,
there's so much stuff going on that, like, you can get left out of the conversation.
Yeah.
Like, someone brought up the Let's Go Brandon thing, and I had no idea what that was.
What does it
mean?
Then
I had, well, you gotta go look it up. And that's what I had to do, and I was like, oh, this is what they're saying, this is what they mean. Like, but I was completely left out of the loop with that whole thing. But that's the problem with social media, is you have to, like, stay up on everything that's being said out there.
I'll pass. I'm good.
I like the Oscar Mayer Wieners post that I give you guys personally. I'm really into that one.
It's raining dogs, huh?
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Cleveland Browns have not looked all that hot recently.
Two-game losing streak?
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, the Cleveland Browns have not looked all that hot. And I don't know. I mean, they got a game coming up on Thursday. Brady, it just feels like we're hearing a lot about this shoulder issue for Baker Mayfield. Feels like it's coming up quite a bit. A lot of conversation about it.
I have noticed, like, he's talking about it a lot. It's being reported a lot. It's his non-throwing shoulder. And when people talk about a shoulder popping in and out, all right, there's a medical term called subflexing, okay? And I got to be honest with you, it happens kind of often. All right. Like, it happens often, and technically it's a dislocation, but it pops out and then back in. It's not like Lethal Weapon, all right, where the shoulder's popping out and Briggs trying to hit it against the side of something to pop it back
so
in.
Badass,
all right?
It is,
but like I've got a buddy who, all right, I'll say it. One of my childhood friends I grew up with, his shoulder would pop out all the time. Like, all the time, all right? Like, I could tell you, so his family had a lake house, and we used to go up, you know, get on the inner tubes and all that. Well, we'd attach two on the back, and then you'd basically have battles. And so they'd drive the boat, and they'd swing back and forth. Well, one of these times, I happen to be on the inner tube. He's on the other one. And he comes swinging around to, like, crash into me. Of course, shoulder dislocates. Here's the problem. It's in a remote area, all right? And he's trying to pop this thing back in like it's Lethal Weapon, and it ain't going back in, all right? And they eventually had to take him to a hospital, in, I believe, Indianapolis, or maybe it was Fort Wayne. I can't remember which, but like we were in a remote part. Like it was a couple hour drive. He's in a lot of pain. I think he threw in a gigantic dip and maybe took it like a just shotgunned a beer. But he was in a lot of pain. And so that was like a very long process to get it to actually pop back into place. That was the first time. That was one of the like one of these times. There was another time where when we were down in New Orleans for the Sugar Bowl. And if you've ever been down on Bourbon Street, you know those curbs are high, man. They're like damn near a foot high. They're really tall curbs. And so he had had a few drinks, and he's like kind of stepping backwards, and he steps to turn in his dazed and confused state and happens to fall off of the sidewalk onto the street, falls on his shoulder, dislocates in New Orleans. And he can't pop it back in. So they got to take him to the hospital. They're moving to hotel. Family's moving to hotel. All this stuff.
I would never hang out with this dude, by the way. As much as I'd love him, I'd be like, look, bro.
You'd love him. You'd love him. It doesn't happen that often. These are just all two stories in like a two-year period.
Do you sit there and just laugh at him, or do you try and help him? Do you offer up any help?
No, of course you offer help. I mean, the boat one, I felt like it was partially my fault. This one, I was in my hotel. We were preparing for the game, but my buddies were texting me like, hey, we're in the hospital, you know, so-and-so dislocated his shoulder.
Which friend is this?
No, I'm not saying. I'm not naming names.
Is it Jake,
I'm not naming names.
Jake or Pat?
I'm not naming names.
Gus.
So all I'm going to say is this Pat. Is not like when you hear about athletes getting their shoulder dislocated, when they actually dislocate their shoulder and they can't pop it back in, they ain't coming back in, all right? This is not a movie. This isn't Lethal Weapon. That's not how this works. When you hear about guys who have their shoulder dislocate, it's popping back in. It's subflexing. So it'll pop out and then back in. They'll put on sometimes a brace or a harness to try to prevent it from doing that. Baker Mayfield's doing that now, but it's his non-throwing shoulder. And it's almost like, they're trying to make a case for, well, this is impacting his play. Yeah, it could be impacting his play. It could be impacting his throwing motion to a certain degree. But that doesn't have as much to do with the fact that, like, this year didn't start off great before he subflexed or dislocated his shoulder. It wasn't like the season was going that great for him personally anyway. So, look, this is it's been a tough year, I think, for Baker. In a year where I think he wanted to prove that he should get that long-term contract, at least statistically, like it hasn't been the year for that. Like that's going to be hard to come by if you're going to base it off the stats that he's had so far this year.
Listen, the concerning part of this for me is not Baker Mayfield or Baker Mayfield's non-throwing shoulder. It's Nick Chubb. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are the catalyst of a successful offensive campaign for the Cleveland Browns. Now you're dealing with Nick Chubb and that calf injury. And if Kareem Hunt is left to carry that load by himself, I don't think that it works the same way, fellas. I don't think that they have the type of success that they're able to have on offense if both of those guys are back there. If you recall last year, their surgence and during the course of the season was when they did what? They got down and dirty and got heavy with the run, and it opened everything up for this team, and it made it look as though Baker Mayfield was playing at this franchise quarterback level when in reality he doesn't have to. He didn't have to. This is actually the time. Non-throwing shoulders, subplex, slipping out, shoulder not there, dislocation, whatever you want to call it. This is the moment in time. At 3-3, you're still in the hunt. This is the time for Baker Mayfield to show either that he is that guy or forever hold your peace. Because to me, what I'm looking at right now is a team that is really on, they're on the cusp of either being a good team and continuing on from what they were last year, even though the start with three losses, I mean, being at 500, coming out of the first, like, you know, being in that second quarter of the season is not horribly bad. But you have to start to make your stand. You're playing a 3-3 team in a Denver Broncos team that is kind of, honestly, the same type of team. They're a cusp team. Are they going to be a better team, or are they going to go backwards? I don't know where Teddy Bridgewater is with his health. I know he's going to have to deal with being sore and being I don't know. I'm not going to say injured, but probably hurt. These are two teams that are fighting to get above 500. One will get there. How will the Cleveland Browns get there? And the first thing that comes to mind is, can they run the ball? I hate to say it. It's not the first. The first thing isn't, is it Baker Mayfield? The first thing that comes to mind to me is, are they going to be able to pressure the quarterback? And are they going to be able to run the ball? Because if those two things happen, that's when you see a really, really effective, really good Cleveland Browns team. And if you don't see those two elements, you're not going to see a successful, effective Cleveland Browns team.
And it's not even just the injuries to the running backs or Baker Mayfield. They got injuries on the offensive line. Owusu-Koramoah is hurt. OBJ's got a shoulder issue. Now, remember him talking about the shoulder
and
injury?
And hasn't practiced.
Yeah.
And hasn't practiced.
Like this feels... Like, I don't want to say snake bit. The Ravens running back situation was snake bit before the season. That was just terrible. But this does feel like this is starting to pile up pretty big here, Brady. Yeah. Like, they got a lot going on.
And look, it sounds like Chubb might be the one who comes back sooner than Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
But it looks like they could be trading off. Neither plays, right? Because if I'm not mistaken, they play Denver on a short week this week.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
And you've already got Von Miller talking about he's going to kill whoever's across from him, but he doesn't even know who that's going to be.
Yikes.
I mean, he's predicting murder right now on Thursday Night Football, so that should be interesting. But, no, I think if you look at this roster, here's the thing about the Browns. As banged up as they are, they've drafted it. They've actually kind of backfilled their roster pretty darn well. Like, I know we're used to seeing Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and they are two of the better, more physical runners in the game. But if Demetric Felton gets his chance, he's a little more of a scat back, smaller player, but they can free release him. He can do a lot of things out of the backfield. Dearness Johnson, too, is a running back who's got some reps. He'll be able to factor into it. So I'm not, like, overly concerned about that portion of it. It's more, to me, their offensive line. I mean, at one point, remember Blake Hantz? He was the guy who came in last year into the huddle, and Baker was like, hey, how you doing? Like, first time meeting him. Didn't even know who he was. Jeez. Like, he's been playing some left tackle for him. Like they've been more in dire circumstances on their O-line, which has been the catalyst for this team. It's not any other position other than their offensive line being arguably the best unit in the NFL. They've been banged up this year. And so if that group can't get it done, regardless of who's in the backfield or Baker's shoulder and all that stuff, it's going to be interesting to see. But here's what I'd say to you. So right now, the Browns now sit at 3-3, tied at the bottom of the AFC North. They're tied with the Steelers. Like, do you remember the bleak outlook we had for the Steelers?
Yes.
The Steelers?
And now all of a sudden.
They are now tied. And so if you wanted to bet right now, depending on the book, depending on the odds, I think I pulled this from Caesars. But the Ravens are at minus 260 to win the AFC North. The Browns are in second place as far as odds go, even though they're in last if you look at the division, right? The Bengals actually are in second now. And they're at plus 1,000, so 10
and
to 1
not
odds.
Bad. And they are not bad.
No, they're not bad at all. But here's, to me, the value play. 18 to 1 are the Steelers to win the AFC North at 3-3 at this point.
I mean,
and the only thing I'd say to you is there's a little value there, in my opinion, because if the Steelers, who have not played well at all this year, but if they get it together and actually start playing what they're capable of, that team could all of a sudden end up competing with maybe the Ravens. I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to.
That's how it is every year, though. You know that. You're an AFC North.
I get that. But here's the reality of the VAR, because you got to understand sports betting. You're not going to find the value of the Steelers any other time this year if they start going on a run than right
being
now.
At this high.
Yeah, because at plus 1,800, you'd have to place this bet now and be able to see into the future. Because otherwise, you might as well just say, oh, ho-hum. Maybe I'll take a bet on the Bengals. That seems unlikely. Still some value there. But if you're not going to bet on the favorite at minus 260 unless you feel like that's just an absolute lock, which I don't know that it is at this point in time in the season.
Baltimore.
And you said you
division.
Didn't talk about gambling until you got with Jonas. Because you do. You sound kind of like a handicapper,
hey,
too, now. Like,
I tried to tell him when I would be hinting at gambling lines, and he was just like, I'm not really into it, And it's like the first sip of booze you give your buddy, and next thing you know, he's like Nick Cage off Leaving Las Vegas. nervous. He's like throwing up because he hasn't had a drink in 15 minutes. Like, Brady loves his gambling now. He can't
I
get
like to look
it.
At this stuff, but hey, let me just throw out two of the things to you because we're only through, what, week six of the NFL?
Yes.
Imagine if you're a player or coach, and if you just happen to look at this, right? And if you're the Jets or the Texans, and the odds of you winning your division, you're only six games in the season, all right? Only six games is 150-1.
Yeah.
That's pretty demoralizing.
Let me tell you something. And one of those players on those teams are like, God, I can't believe our odds are that good. Like, we have no shot here. Like, there's not a chance in hell. Like, place a wager on your division rival if you're going to get into it. I mean, have a buddy do it.
Jonas, and check me if I'm wrong, but are the Lions, are they 500-1?
Well,
I feel like I saw that somewhere too, which is absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, they may as well be 5,000-1. Yeah.
Well, no,
I mean,
you can't.
It's just, you know.
I didn't even realize that Kareem Hunt was placed on the injured reserve list.
IR, yeah.
So the bottom. So the thing about it is that so you got both of them with calf injuries, and one is out, and one hasn't practiced. So you're potentially going into this game with neither one of them.
Yeah, it'll be Demetric Felton or D'Ernest Johnson. I was just saying that. Yeah, look, Johnson's capable, and Felton, I'm telling you, you're gonna watch Thursday Night Football, and if they use him based on how they used him at UCLA. This kid can do something. He could be a little special, I'm telling you.
Be sure to catch live editions of Two Pros and a Cup of Joe with Brady Quinn, LeVar Arrington, and Jonas Knox weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of never cheating, how about the great John Paul Morosi? He is our Fox Sports Radio MLB insider, MLB Network insider. JP, listen, you know, how do you feel about chicken and waffles? Are you a big fan, or does that not travel to Ann Arbor all that well?
I have enjoyed chicken and waffles before. I have partaken of the great chicken and waffles. So it is part of my repertoire. It is not one of my go-tos necessarily, but it is something I do enjoy. And I will say this, after spending a fair amount of this month traveling around the country covering Major League Baseball, I am due for a lot of vegetables in November. because at the ballpark, I can't, you know, I try to get a good, mix in a good kale salad every now and then, but I tell you what, Fenway, oddly enough, when Fenway was built and opened in 1912, the same week the Titanic sank, kale salads were not a huge thing, oddly enough. So it's kind of hard to get a good kale salad at Fenway.
And neither were snorkels.
I do not want a kale salad.
Yeah.
Hey, now that's
JP,
a cheat.
JP, before we get into obviously the playoffs right now, everything that's going on, Aaron Boone gets a 3-year extension. Kind of an uneven season for the Yankees, and obviously with their loss to the Red Sox, you never know how that was going to go. Just give me some of your thoughts on the idea behind extending Boone with the Yankees.
Yeah, Brady. It's a huge story in baseball right now, and I think Aaron was deserved to get that. To get that contract extension, I think he did a pretty good job navigating a challenging year for the Yankees. You consider all the injuries they had during the course of the season, pitching-wise, of course, DJ LeMahieu, as we now know, he had core muscle surgery and was not himself all season long, and that was really a challenge for them, and Gleyber Torres and his struggles. The problems with the Yankees, in my judgment, were not Aaron's fault. And as we all know, that is a hard market to play in. LeVar certainly knows that. I mean, it's a challenging place to be able to stand up to that pressure every single day. So, I mean, for me, I think he did a pretty good job steering the ship. I understand they're making, obviously, multiple coaching staff changes, and I think that will help. It's also going to help that Brian Cashman has said that they're going to have Gleyber Torres playing second base next year as opposed to short. And so now the big question, guys, will be, which of the big free agent shortstops do they pursue? Certainly a lot of talk about Carlos Correa this time of year. He would be a very compelling person to play shortstop in pinstripes.
I mean, I want to ask about, obviously, the Dodgers winning last night against the Braves. They jump out to a two-game lead, and now all of a sudden it could be tied in the blinking of an eye, John. Where do you see this series going, and how big – how much would this mean in the history of the Dodgers' folklore, so to speak, if they're able to come back and win this, and then obviously if it were to lead to them getting a World Series?
Well, it was a great October moment, LeVar, and the way that unfolded yesterday. You think about an eighth inning home run from someone who really, look at Bellinger's season, he did not have a very good regular season. I mean, there were not a lot of great moments in that regular season for him. And I do think it's one of the things, and that's why I respect athletes like Brady and LeVar, and you know, certainly Jonas, I know, is a great athlete as well.
Yeah, but damn right.
You didn't have to qualify.
Yeah.
You didn't have to qualify with Jonas. Don't worry about it.
he's one of the best shake waiters out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Really
right.
Good at shake
exactly.
Got your shake weight right here, pal.
I'm trying to make sure I give my friend the boost there. But Brady and LeVar, I'll tell you this. I mean, we've all we can appreciate this, and you guys can do it more than anybody else. Is that when you're not at your peak for a period of time, however long it is, and then you come back and really have that redemption where you're okay, now you're back to being yourself. I've always found that to be one of the most impressive things that athletes do, because your confidence is suffering. You're out there in front of everybody. You're hearing it from people. What's wrong? Why aren't you performing the way you did before? And then boom, the lights are brightest and you deliver in a huge spot. So Bellinger's regular season is now an ancient memory, and he's now back to being and looking like an MVP again. And that moment yesterday is now all of a sudden a signature Bellinger moment. So the momentum obviously is as they say in baseball, really depend on your next pitcher. But in this case, it's Urias who's going to start the game for the Dodgers. So I think that there's a momentum on the side of this being a 2-2 series. And I just think yesterday's game, guys, it's to your point, it's one swing changes everything. And that's the beauty of a baseball series in the playoffs. We're here at Fenway, and Boston's leading 2-1, and for all the world, it looked like they were about to run away with the series, and then all of a sudden, we're back to 2-2, and Altuve with some heroics, and Jason Castro in the ninth inning. That's why these playoff series are the best, because they can change, and it's not just the one game that changes, it's the whole series, and your whole season in one pitch, and that's to me the beauty of the baseball playoffs.
John Pomerosi joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Fox Sports Radio's MLB insider, also of the MLB Network. You can get him on Twitter, at John Morosi. Let me ask you this about the start times. How does that work for Major League Baseball? Is there any thought to why have two games on one day, maybe space this out a little bit, so in the case of the Dodgers and Braves, you're not having to play where the shadows are starting to impact some of the hitters and things like that, especially at certain points during the game?
It's a very fair question. I think that, number one, additional off days are not really an option based on the way that the structure of the playoffs works. They always want to avoid playing in November. So it's you can't really have too many single day games. In other words, where there's just one day, there's one game, and then maybe the other series is traveling. So that happens out of necessity. That'll happen again tomorrow. But in general, we don't see that happen very often in baseball, where they add additional off days in the series. I fully understand it. I mean, it's clearly television driven. I mean, this is the networks, and it's hard for me to know, and I don't know, to be honest, which decision is made based on which network takes priority to which matchup they want in prime time. Well, we obviously know when the Red Sox and Yankees are playing games, they're quite often in prime time. But then again, the Dodgers also are as well during the course of the season. It is part of the way the playoffs work, and I've covered a lot of games that have the shadows, and it makes it very difficult to hit. It's always been part of the, I think, the unique part of October baseball. But it is not ideal to have the shadows be a huge factor in the way that these games unfold. That being said, and you know this, Jonas, that when you're at a 5 o'clock game, I've always said this, you're at a 5 o'clock local time game at Dodger Stadium in October, and so it's a 8 o'clock Eastern time start, and the light is reflecting off the San Gabriels, and that's how the game begins, and you're there on the field for batting practice. It's one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in my life covering sports. And it is as though God intended for baseball to be played at exactly that place at exactly that moment of the day. I mean, it takes your breath away. And so that's maybe, I would say, is a bit of the romance of the game, the one positive part about those 5 o'clock starts at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, that, but unfortunately, it's hard to catch some of those fly balls out there.
You're
right, right center.
You're right, Brady.
I do want to ask you, if you ever think Dave Roberts, when he's watching other teams like the Braves, for example, and Charlie Morton's on the mound and just pitching 5 innings, kind of fighting through adversity, ever second guesses or questions, you know, just the analytics play and the way he goes about, you know, throwing out 9 different pitchers, granted in their win last night, but still just that over analytical decision and making that. I kind of watch it as an old school guy play baseball saying, if I'm that pitcher, I want to stay on the mound and fight through until I feel like I can't anymore, or it's my stuff, and not be so concerned about matchups and so forth. Do you ever think Dave Roberts questions or second guesses himself the way he goes about managing his pitching rotation and just managing who he's putting in when?
I'm sure he does, Brady, because it's obviously, it's an organizational decision. A lot of these pitching decisions, and for us, it's hard when we're broadcasting a game or talking about it. Obviously, it's the manager making the move, but you can always add in at almost any decision when it comes to pitching this time of year. Dave Roberts, parentheses, in consultation with all of the analytics department of the Dodgers and working on all the numbers, end parentheses, has made this decision. Because it's not only his call. It really isn't. It is. That's just the way that it works now in baseball. And he is a great manager. I think that maybe there are times where if he was not quite as encumbered by the rules that are put there by the not rules but guidelines by the analytics department, that he might make some different decisions, but this is just the way the game is managed now collectively. I do think that the one of the things that, and we saw it even at the game here at Fenway last night with Eovaldi pitching the 9th inning and giving it up, I always wonder and you guys can speak to this, like the human toll of you're either in a great rhythm, you get taken out, or you're a starter and all of a sudden you're pitching in the 8th inning for the first time this season. My question is always why? What is the expected performance of a starter pitching in the 8th or 9th relative to the other decent options that you've got back there, clearly decent in many cases and sometimes great, who've been doing that job all year? And then what is the diminishing return on that starting pitcher the next time he takes the mound, if that's just his quote-unquote throw day? I really understand it in some cases, depending on some teams, but not when the team has the level of pitching depth that the Dodgers have. It strikes me as unnecessary. They clearly won the World Series last year. They got some credibility from that, clearly. But sometimes there's no need to try to outsmart the other team when you're already a pretty good ball club.
John Paul Morosi, Fox Sports Radio, MLB Insider, MLB Network Insider. And, John, you're at in Boston, so you'll be there. Game 5 coming up later on, 5:08 p.m. Eastern time on FS1.
I want to ask him about that one, though.
Yeah, please do.
Before he gets out of here, J-Mo, you mentioned that Boston has yet to record a save this postseason, which is – that's pretty interesting. They're that close to going up 3-1 over the Astros, and the Astros come back and take the game. Who do you see being the closer today, and how important is that?
Yeah, no, it's a great question, LeVar. I think we could see Hansel Robles as their closer. They had to, I think they were kind of avoiding trying to go to him because of his inconsistency towards the beginning part of the playoffs. It could be Robles, could also be Tanner Houck. potentially. Of course, they're going to have Chris Sale start. And this is one thing where the Chris Sale that we've seen in these playoffs has not been the Chris Sale of old. And so we have to see if Alex Cora gets four innings from Chris and then how the rest of the game goes. But I think you may have to go with Houck early if Sale doesn't go late. And they may have to therefore trust Hanzo Robles because Whitlock threw more than one inning yesterday. So it's a great question, LeVar. It's probably one key questions at Fenway here today as we get ready.
JP, awesome. We're going to be watching, man. Always appreciate it. Let's do it again next week.
Thanks, JP.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk a little all more right. Big Ten football next time.
Yeah.
All right, guys?
Yeah, yeah, big one. Big there one in go. 2 weeks for Michigan.
Damn right.
Can't
right.
wait. It's going to be a great one. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate
yes,
it.
Sir.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It is two pros and a cup of Joe here on Fox Sports Radio.
Yeah.
That is some dirty
yep,
pool.
Yep, yep.
That is.
Oh, that is not. That's
yes,
fair.
It is.
That's fair.
That's doctoring.
A LeVar won fair and square. He might have gotten 2 points on that one.
That's doctoring the baseball, corking the bat. That is unbelievable.
It's just you know, just trying to master your craft.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Asking
God
great questions
sure.
is the key.
that's what
all.
It is.
Well, hey, you know.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.